For the past couple of years, the satirical paper The Onion has produced a series of segments called Autistic Reporter, in which an actor playing someone somewhere on the autistic spectrum is sent out for on-the-spot reports. You can see where this joke is going. Here's the autistic reporter on missing hikers.
The hikers were last seen 174 hours ago. Since then, three very big storms have hit here. There's a 1.24% chance that all of the hikers are alive. There's a 3.87% chance that one or more of the hikers are alive.
In Florida, there's a group of people who prove that's not quite right. The Autism Channel puts real people from the autism spectrum in front of the camera. The channel is available on Roku, a device that streams the internet onto your TV. And so far, they've got 13,000 viewers and an expanding group of shows. The channel is aimed at the growing number of families who have a child diagnosed on the spectrum, as well as people diagnosed with autism themselves. Those numbers are growing quickly. In 2002, one in 150 children was diagnosed. In 2008, it was one in 88. We sent OTN producer Chris Neary to Florida, where the channel is based, to meet some of those hosts and to see what the Autism Channel looks like.
So a few months ago, I had lunch with Daniel Heinlein. The first thing I found out, when he was a kid, he really liked television.
I would just sit there and watch the $25,000 pyramid all day.
$10,000, that'll take you up to 24.
And I would come up with my own game shows, and I would memorize the game show hosts.
For $10,000, here is your first subject. Go!
A rabbit's foot, a four-leaf...
I would sit in class in second grade and draw sets for game shows. I would write music for game shows. It would just... It was all I cared about.
Parts of your body.
A wishbone.
Things you break, things you...
Daniel has Asperger's syndrome, a high-functioning kind of autism, which often features these sorts of obsessions. Growing up, he memorized maps of southern Wisconsin, where he's from. He also absorbed the entire history of the Hartford Whalers, a hockey team that doesn't exist anymore.
When I was about 2 years old, I would watch the commercials between shows, and when the commercials were over, I would cry. My parents would tape all the commercials and just put them on a loop so I could watch the same commercials for Pillsbury microwave brownies over and over.
Daniel struggled academically and socially in high school. He didn't pick up on basic social cues, things like maintaining eye contact and standing the right distance away from someone when you're talking to them. Things have improved the last few years, but at 26, he lives with his parents. Some companies seek out people like Daniel because they're capable of such sustained focus. One Danish company matches people on the spectrum to jobs in the tech industry. Autism advocate Temple Grandin suggests careers in engineering and computer programming. What you won't see on that list of compatible jobs is TV host for a streaming cable channel. And yet...
When I was very young, I was on track to do great things in school. But as I got older, I started having problems. But after years of struggles, I was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. I didn't believe it, and begrudgingly went with it. But now I feel I'm part of the autistic community, one which in the United States alone numbers over 16 million people.
I'm Daniel Heinlein, and I am autistic.
In I Am Autistic, Daniel interviews people in the autistic world, both on and off the spectrum. Daniel's autism is mild. It's just one part of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, some people don't talk. Others attack themselves and need constant supervision. You might think of people on the spectrum as having a static condition, but they can improve their social skills. Daniel's upbringing helped. His grandparents owned a radio station. His father was a radio announcer. And of course, being on television has helped. For instance, it's helped him cultivate a sense of empathy, a trait that talk show hosts often have to fake.
I wasn't naturally an empathetic person until I started doing the work with the channel and meeting all these people and finding out all the things that they're struggling with and finding out that there are people who are like me, there are people who are worse off than I am.
We probably wouldn't be doing this channel if it weren't for Daniel.
Jerry Trowbridge is the co-founder of the Autism Channel.
Finding somebody with a social disorder who can connect with the camera is really a difficult thing to find.
Most people enter the autistic world when their child is diagnosed. But Jerry and his business partner, Ray Smithers, have no personal connection. They just had an idea for a pilot of Daniel's show that they nearly sold to the Oprah Winfrey Network. Jerry is 60, Ray is 70. They're bankrolling the station for now. Costs are in the high five figures so far, and there's no ad revenue yet. So with one assistant, they book the guests, operate the cameras, do post-production, upload the shows, and promote the station online. If Jerry and Ray have a goal, it's to use the channel to take some of the stigma away from being on the spectrum.
A lot of people will tell you it's a disaster, it's an epidemic, it's terrible, and there are certainly aspects of that. But we are also developing a society that many of the members think differently, and that's not necessarily bad. One of the people who does in-home videos with us says, I'm not out to change my child. I'm out to change the environment my child lives in.
The Autism Channel's one small studio is set back from a two-lane road in a quiet part of West Palm Beach. On one side of the studio, there's a classic talk show set with chairs and couches and a coffee table. On the other side, a two-story green screen that allows them to create different backdrops for different shows. Right now, Daniel is interviewing Michael Garvin, who's on the spectrum himself, about his new show, Garvin on Garvin.
Hi, I'm Dan Heinlein, and welcome to I Am Autistic. Usually when I have a guest on here, I say, I'm here talking...
Garvin on Garvin is built around Garvin's quirks, which are many.
I may be autistic, but I think the rest of my family makes me look normal. So does that teleprompter. And so does my director, because he may told me not to slouch. So I can't be a sloucher, because the teleprompter will not teleprompt.
Garvin has had and lost many jobs. He rubbed coworkers the wrong way. But in front of the camera, he's comfortable.
You know, I'm not going to hide it. I mean, I would wear clothes like green with purple shorts or something, and black socks with hard shoes. And everybody said, yeah, that guy's a weirdo. I said, if I'm a weirdo, I might as well admit I'm a weirdo.
Jerry and Ray plan to make the Autism Channel available on more streaming devices to reach more viewers. But as the station grows, it'll run headlong into the most contentious issue in the autistic world: the alleged connection between vaccines and the soaring number of autism diagnoses. Now, this shouldn't be contentious. The Lancet Medical Journal article that propelled the issue was publicly discredited and withdrawn. After a 2011 review of more than 1,000 articles on the topic, the Institute of Medicine found no proof of a connection between vaccines and autism. And yet, a vocal minority of the autism community have stopped vaccinating their children. Jerry says the Autism Channel won't take sides. I asked him why not.
It's, to my mind, a dangerous view. You can endanger your child, other children. Do you have a responsibility as a journalist to challenge them?
We do, but we're really not in a great position to challenge them as long as we don't really know what causes autism.
But you know it's not that.
Do we?
No.
Bad science doesn't prove anything. We have a lot of other people out there that are maybe not in the scientific mainstream, but are licensed doctors that believe that vaccines are somehow involved in the process.
Ray says the channel is committed to presenting all views without immediately rebutting any of them. Daniel, their star host, has not dealt directly with the vaccine issue on his show yet, but he has had guests advocate for some of the many unproven treatments for autism spectrum disorders, and he feels conflicted about confronting them.
I beat myself up over it. I feel like I can't really go hard on the people that I disagree with as hard as I'd like to. And I have to empathize with what the parents are going through, and sometimes I fear they're going to see me as like a traitor to my people, if they're my people in the first place, that I'm not advocating withholding vaccinations from your kids. In fact, I think that everyone should be vaccinated for the good of public health.
Dr. Judy Aronson-Ramos hosts The Dr. Judy Show, a talk show where she interviews autism experts. She's a behavioral pediatrician in nearby Coconut Beach, Florida, who has a daughter on the autism spectrum. Vaccines haven't come up on her show yet either. But if and when they do, she doesn't plan on being agnostic.
There are children who were healthy, got vaccinated, had a bad reaction, and are injured in some way. However, study after study after study after study that's good are showing no connection between vaccines and autism in general. So I'm not going to be in Anything Goes channel.
The channel only started streaming in late September. The way it handles the vaccine connection and other unproven treatments will go a long way to determining how it will be received by parents and experts who are drawn to the channel. But there are other viewers.
Okay, my eldest son is Broderick, and he's 11 years old.
He's, you know, he's tall and average build. He's not incredibly athletic, but he's really good at playing chess, and he loves science. He lacks social skills tremendously.
Marlo Kruger Kaufman lives in Ontario with her husband and three kids. Her two oldest, both boys, are on the spectrum.
My middle son, Riley, is more classic autism. He would lay somewhere on the spectrum between classic severe autism and a moderate autism. He has good days and he has bad days. He has days where he speaks and asks questions. And then there are days where he won't speak at all, and all he'll do is stim. And when he stims, he screams.
Stimming is a repetitive behavior. Marlo says that for Riley, that means he flicks his fingers around his eyes and screams. Sounds bad, but she says it means he's passing the day in complete joy. He loves the Autism Channel. It comforts him when he's not experiencing complete joy.
Hi, I'm Sam Rubin. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Here's my lemon.
The show the kids like best is the Rocket Family Chronicles, the fictionalized adventures of a real family led by their 19-year-old autistic son, Sam. He often addresses the camera directly.
Here's a scene from one of my first films. That's my dad. He's having a rough day. The character I play in the show is Rocket. He's somewhat like me. And now for Dust Bunny.
I asked Broderick, the 11-year-old, what he thinks of the show. What it's like seeing someone else with Asperger's on TV.
It's just pretty amazing. I've never thought that people with Asperger's could get jobs like that.
Would you want to be on television?
Yes.
Doing what?
I don't know. Story of my life.
After several years of living with Asperger's, I think you learn not to be self-conscious anymore.
That's Daniel Heinlein again.
Because if you're going to worry about what people think about you, you're never going to make it out of bed in the morning.
20 years ago, Daniel Heinlein watched Dick Clark hosting the $25,000 pyramid and fell in love with television. Today, Brody Kaufman can watch Daniel Heinlein. This may end up being the best thing the Autism Channel contributes to the autism world. A new place and a new way for people on the spectrum to see themselves. For On the Media, I'm Chris Neary.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sarah Abdurrahman, Chris Neary, and Doug Anderson, with more help from Krista Ripple. And it was edited this week by Jamie York and me. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Rob Frankel. Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. Brooke Gladstone will be back next week. I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.